Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I want to get to the what the caller said in the Morning Boys, and not about their weird kinky exposition that show took this morning.
Hey, I like them being open.
Hey, we don't kink shame.
We don't kink shame. Whatever you're into, you're into.
Yeah.
Now, you had that one off the top of your head. Just means you've been thinking about it for a
while.
You're
not going to out-freak this freak, okay?
Didn't seem like they really had to take too much time to think about it.
No, yeah, that's a really definitely had that locked and loaded, yeah. And that's all right. And it was funny because I heard PFT and Big Cat give a very similar take. They're like, again, same basis, same idea, off of what Pony had to do. It's like, did Pony just always want to have his nipples pierced? Is that the idea there?
I think so.
And then I was like, wait, did PFT and Big Cat, did they just rip off Ken and Anthony? I was like, no, well, they stopped short of giving their own kinks on the air. So I don't think they went the whole distance.
You know, because you weren't sure if we could say that on the air yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I was so upset that I didn't think of?
And then I listened to so many people say it on the air. I said, okay, well, now we can.
I was going to go Con Knipple.
Oh.
He wanted to get his Con Knipples pierced. And I just, as soon as we got off the air, I thought about it. And I was like, now, however.
92.3 The Kink.
Feel it.
So two things. There were two things.
Oh, that, I want it bad.
Before we get to the caller from the Morning Boys, kinky style. The caller was not kinky, by the way. Two things I thought that Miles said that were really interesting that we haven't gotten to yet is he was like, yeah, I think we should stick to the run, which he's not wrong. And two, when he was asked about reason to be hopeful on offense, he said, I try to focus on my side of the ball.
And I thought that was actually the great answer, like a great answer for Miles. Like, and that, if he had maintained that the entire time, that would have been such a win for him, because that was what he said out of the gate. Very first answer. I know my side of the ball. I can't think about the offensive side of the ball. But then later, as you mentioned, he then brings in the idea of like, well, yeah, I would have ran the ball more. It's like, well, wait, what is it? Do you not care about that side of the ball and have any input on that side of the ball? Or do you have a lot of thoughts about that side of the ball? We just have to keep asking you questions for 5 minutes.
He also hedged his bets when he was like, you know, I know they're working for it. They got a lot of young guys over there trying real hard. And I was like, I don't think that's the eraser phrase that you actually put at the end of the sentence and not the beginning.
The dig that I thought he made was about the idea that Flacco style must work over there, but it didn't work over here. That's the one where I thought that was, if we want to talk about Miles getting a little saucy, that was Miles getting saucy.
Now, speaking of getting saucy, I knew that at some point people are going to call for Kevin Stefanski to get fired, right? And I'm not doing that today. We still have time for that. It's incredibly early to have that call to this point. I thought what was interesting is, on my 2025 Browns bingo card, I did not have a caller calling in and asking for this.
What quarterback has actually blossomed and went to another level under Kevin Stefanski? If either they have digressed, didn't go to another level, or just plain look like crap. Look at the common denominator. Watson, Baker, Flacco's already here. Flacco's a veteran. Flacco.
You hear that, Ken? Did you hear that?
What did he say?
He's not alone.
Isaac might have just made me think something.
He's not alone.
I'm afraid to say
it. I saw some people.
I'm afraid to say it.
I saw it last night, Isaac. Some people were saying, did they ruin Deshaun?
Hey, I'm trying to tell you now. I'm not saying that all the way, but I'm just putting the facts in. You could deny the truth, but the facts remain the same. Yeah, if you look at it, if you look at the comma, because look, Flacco and his reads were crisp last night. This guy ain't been there, 2 weeks?
Before we get to the Watson part of this, I thought it was interesting that if we're having this conversation about Kevin 6 months ago, everyone's still saying he gets the best out of quarterbacks despite bundle of facts that point in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's something nice that we finally swung the pendulum to, wait, these quarterbacks are playing better or just the same elsewhere?
Well, but it begs the question, did we swing too far? And so, here's my response.
The Watson thing is yes.
Well, so here's my, yes to what? Yes that he's just that Stefanski didn't get the best out of him, or yes into what?
No, that we swung too far the pendulum.
Okay, because I need to remind people that it listen, maybe the, from the pure skill standpoint, maybe Deshaun could actually do it with somebody else in some sort of fashion or something, but he's too broke. At this point, he's too injured of a player for us to ever want to go down that road ever again. Like, you can't rely on his body being healthy more so than the idea that you think he could actually play football. I mean, listen, I don't know. Albert comes on and Albert says he's probably got the most talent out of any quarterback that's in that room. Okay, take that for whatever that's worth. Maybe there is something there with Watson that Stefanski didn't tap into, because it's not like he's been able to tap into anybody, but he's a very injured player. That's why it's a non-starter for me.
I don't pray in public. I believe that sometimes I can be a little performative, so I'm not praying. But I am. It's like an open letter to God. Okay?
Christ has died. Christ has arisen.
I can hear the
will come again.
I can hear your 75-year-old deceased neighbor rising from the from below the ground back in Illinois.
Lucky for you, she died around 95. She was just around 75 when she lived next door to me and told me I was going to be a priest.
That's not the only thing she told you. She whispered a lot to you,
enjoy
sir.
Enjoy the bulge.
Lord have mercy.
But I this is an open letter. Please do not let Deshaun go elsewhere and be serviceable again before the Browns are good. If it happens, okay. I have no problem if Deshaun goes elsewhere and does look serviceable again at some point. Like, I'm sure that all the people that bagged on him for 5 years will find a way to bring it on back. And it'll be the Michael Vick story, right? It'll be, oh, what a success. He's learned from this and that and the other. But just please let the Browns be good while that's happening. Because I don't think I could watch Baker go do what Baker's done, watch Deshaun fail to be the worst trade in NFL history. The fail here, get all the money, and then the Joe Flacco thing, and then still watch this team lose, and then Deshaun is somehow better outside of here as well.
I mean, if I'm any of these quarterbacks that Stefanski has worked with, that includes Deshaun, obviously, I would have to wonder that today. That's a big question mark I have, is how much of me was actually, how much of my talent was zapped from Kevin Stefanski? We just never looked at it that way, because everyone just was too busy saying how great he was with quarterbacks and a quarterback whisperer and this and that, while having no evidence to suggest that he was. If I'm Deshaun Watson, if I'm any one of these other quarterbacks, I wonder what somebody else could do with me.
I think you can say this. You can speak to this, because this is, I've been on the record as saying, I don't think Kevin ruined Deshaun. I think Deshaun and some of the decisions and the time off and whatever happened off the field, I think that really put him behind the eight ball in terms of being a good football player, at least in the near term. I don't think he helped Deshaun. And he violated the cardinal rule of coaching quarterbacks, which is, hey, that's great. You're going to fit into what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when it's just not anything that Deshaun had ever thrived in. And we had so much evidence of Deshaun thriving in other systems and other setups. Hell, he never even called Bill O'Brien to be like, hey, what worked well with you guys?
Yes. And so that's not, Kevin is not the reason Deshaun failed here. But you can't say he did everything he could, because by the time they finally went to the new offense, he hired Ken Dorsey, who had just gotten fired in Buffalo. And I believe we had about 7 games of that before the whole thing blew up.
Yeah, and maybe Deshaun gets a chance to play because of this, because of the idea that Stefanski is not perceived to be some sort of quarterback whisperer, and maybe he did in fact hurt Deshaun. Maybe he gets a chance, and the bet I would make there is that he just gets injured. But if he gets a chance to play and he stinks, then okay, Deshaun just stinks at football. But if I'm Deshaun, I make my case to everybody, and I use Joe Flacco as exhibit A for why I deserve another opportunity in the NFL.
And so while I had my open letter to the heavens or to just the universe in general, please let the Browns be good. At the same time, if Deshaun is ever good again on the football field, no, I do not need to see Deshaun Watson here with a different coach. I just don't. There's nothing about that. And again, like, it's not even about, like, you made a great point, just a football point, which is he's just broken. He can't stay healthy. He's had the shoulder injury, the Achilles injury. You've wasted enough time with him. I'll also say there's just enough water under the bridge. There's just enough things that have happened. There's just enough vitriol that has been spoken, the Watson Wars as they were. Like, you failed enough with Deshaun. And even if Tommy Rees took over tomorrow as the offensive play caller, and Jim Schwartz is the head coach, and Deshaun came off the IR. I don't think Deshaun's going to be able to do it here. Because I'm not even talking about from our side of things. I think too much has happened for him.
But the fact that it's a serious conversation, or we can actually have the convo, is that is leaps and strides different from where we were, let's say, 6 months or a year ago around Deshaun Watson and who is to take blame and fault and everything else. And that's why last night was disastrous for the stock of Kevin Stefanski.
I still would love to know what happened, like meaning like the actual impact with Jimmy Haslam. And whether it puts more pressure on these guys, I know pressure is the most overthought, overspoken on thing. There's so much pressure in the NFL because of the finite amount of jobs, because of the limited amount of time you get to go ahead and actually prove that you can coach in the NFL. I can't imagine that there isn't, though, an extra dollop of pressure, whatever it is, immense pressure, given the Flacco thing and just given how
off
the rails this
thing. I mean, what I've heard in recent weeks is that Haslam's now there on Mondays and he's there on Fridays and he's in the practice, he's in the meetings, he's doing things. Like, imagine Haslam being in one of those meetings today. I mean, it's today. It's after Thursday Night Football, just staring at Stefanski as he gets a game plan ready, thinking about all of the Joe Flacco throws last night.
Well, but like,
jeez,
you've made such a good point about, hey, this was the point of this season was the poison pill. The point of
the
this
season, fact-finding mission, yeah.
The fact-finding mission, right? And it still looks worse. You're like, you can be a 3-14 team and looked well coached. That's the rub here that I think is killing me. Yes, they are short on talent. They're also short on discipline. They're short on the little heady plays that make the difference in like key situations. And some of that is youth. I'll give him that. So again, that's another little piece there for Andrew Berry. But you can say this is going to be the poison pill, the fact-finding mission, the fallout from the Deshaun things, and all of those are true. And yet, they're 1-5, and their record doesn't do justice to how putrid they've really played.
And that's what we'll find out with the rest of the year. If they have the Dolphins game and it continues to go down to the toilet, or whether or not they can actually save something on this. It's odd, because for a Thursday night game that Stefanski says he didn't watch, this one really felt like it hit the fan base in a way. I'd be dying to know if it hit the players the same way.
I mean, he's going back and maybe watching reels today of it.
You think he catches that? That's the Daryl Ryder way of grinding tape.
Yeah.
Where Daryl, I think it was Monday with Ken and Anthony, was like, yeah, I saw this. This breakdown of a bunch of clips of Dylan Gabriel over on Sunday of all his bad throws. I'm like, Daryl, we have this, all the tapes there. You don't need a mash cut up of Dylan Gabriel sucking.
He watched the tape. That's all I heard. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic walks us through what the Flacco impact is on the Browns currently, and watching him succeed yesterday, how hot these seats are, and more in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. To put it all together, we're going to head out to the fan hotline here and welcome on of The Athletic, Jason Lloyd. He joins us now. Happy Friday, Jason.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, man, don't expect me to make sense of the Cleveland Browns. You've come to the wrong spot if you expect me to make sense of all of this.
Well, we're going to try.
It's funny because, Jason, I kind of feel the same way, where I'm like, you know what, for the past year or so, they just don't do anything I advise anyway, and they just always go the wrong direction. So I just tap out of this one. I don't know.
I don't even know. Where do you want to start?
Well, how about we go here? What's the right reaction to Joe Flacco's success last night, 2 weeks after being traded in the division to Cincy?
All right. This is complicated because, first of all, I never understood why they signed him. He's a 40-year-old quarterback. I've said that since the day they signed him. What are you doing? Why are you signing a 40-year-old quarterback? I haven't understood any of their plans that they've done with any of these quarterbacks. I haven't understood anything they've done since they signed Joe, drafted two mid-round rookies, and then traded Pickett, who was supposed to be your day one starter. Like, nothing they have done makes sense. So on the one hand, of course, yesterday was embarrassing for the Browns, right? Like, it felt like Cleveland lost and Cleveland didn't even play. I mean, when you got Bengals fans chanting, thank you, Cleveland, it's like the Browns are a punchline again. On the other hand, he's a 40-year-old quarterback. He didn't have much of a future here, so I get that part. To me, the biggest indictment, I wrote this today, I've talked about, like, the biggest indictment is really on the Browns receivers. And, you know, there was always going to be a game where Joe's going to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns just because of who he's throwing the ball to. It's just, of course, it's the Browns' luck that it happens on a national game. It's the only game on, and the entire country is watching. But are you really shocked that, like, Joe had a great game throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins? I'm not. And I was the one saying, like, he can't move back there with the Browns. But when you look at the Browns' receivers and you look at who he's throwing to in Cincinnati, why was last night such a shock?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Honestly, why?
No, it didn't catch us by surprise. We said that he'd have more success there. The hard part I have is that, Jason, I feel like there are plenty of quarterbacks that have success without a good group of wide receivers. Baker, this last weekend, he didn't have Godwin, didn't have Evans. Obuka got injured early in that game, and he was throwing to Tez and Cameron Johnson. Cameron Johnson, a D2 player who was making his first career receptions, and the guy was having touchdowns. But you can't be bad at both. You can't miss wide receivers and offensive line. And where the Browns have had their struggles, at least run up against it here, is that they're bad in both areas. I don't think it's just being bad in one area. I think it's being bad in both areas, Jason.
The tackles are the worst collection of tackles in the NFL. I don't have the data to support that, but my eyes tell me there is no team in the league with worse tackle play right now than the Cleveland Browns. But I do have data for the rest, okay? So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Browns receivers are dead last in the league at creating separation. They are, in terms of speed, on max speed on routes, they're 30th in the league. And in terms of tight window catches, like having to contest and make a contested catch, they're dead last. They've made 2 of 20, and no one else in the league is under 19%, and the Browns are at 10%, 2 of 21, sorry. So, like, let's sum that up real quick because people are driving and not writing this down. They have some of the slowest receivers in the league. They don't create separation. They don't catch contested passes. And I forgot, they lead the league with 17 drops, and 10 of those 17 would have been first downs. So you can talk about injuries, and you can talk about other teams' receiving core, and yeah, but other teams don't have two elite receivers. No other team in the NFL has a receiving room that bad. Show me another team that has slow receivers who don't create separation, who can't catch balls in traffic, and who drop first downs. And then show me how you're supposed to move the ball on offense with that. So this is I don't have the data to tell you these are the worst tackles. I just gave you all of the data that this is probably the worst receiver room in the NFL.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic on the Fan Hotline here. So we're talking about lessons that can be learned here. And I want to focus specifically on the Haslams and Jimmy Haslam. What should Jimmy Haslam have learned from the last 6 years with the Thought Partners?
I mean, you want me to be a smart aleck?
Yes.
Because the overwhelming answer was the Deshaun trade was a mistake. Like, everything that has gone wrong with the Browns can be traced back to that trade. And I know you're looking for something a little bit more philosophical about who you can trust or who do you put your faith in or something like that. But honestly, it all goes back to Deshaun. The picks that they gave up, the cap sheet that has been devoted to him, kicking the numbers down the road year after year after year, and this massive cap hit that's still looming, not to mention just the tragic miss that the quarterback was. Like, it was devastating to the franchise, and it's going to take multiple years to dig out of that. And that's what you learn from it, is, like, they missed. And beyond that, I don't know what grand lesson you can learn, because it's an enormous if that trade hits, you're having a completely different conversation today, and everything looks a lot better. But when you don't have a quarterback, it exposes everything else on your roster. And right now the Browns have a nice running back who's a rookie, who I think is going to be really, really good for a really long time. and that's it. They don't have a quarterback. Their receiving room is awful. They have no linemen under contract for next year. And, you know, I've said this a zillion times. I'm sick of saying it. I'm sure people are sick of hearing it, but it never rings true more than it does today. The offense was horrible last year. And what did they do to address it? They traded down from 2 to 5, and they spent their top 2 picks on defensive players. So what did you think was going to change? Could have taken a left tackle at 2, could have traded down to 5 and taken a left tackle. I think Mason Graham is going to be a wonderful player on this team for a long time. Also, I think left tackle was a bigger priority on this team than defensive tackle was. And they had opportunities to address it. I think Carson Schwessinger is going to be a wonderful linebacker. He's going to be a great player. Like, 2 things can be true. They made great draft picks that are going to help this team win, and there were more pressing areas on the team as well than defense, than linebacker and defensive tackle. So they got Quinshon, and they don't have much else because they've taken one lineman in the last 2 years, and he can't dress on Sundays. He's so bad. Think about how awful the Browns' offensive line situation is, and Zach Zinter can't even be active on Sundays. That's how bad of a pick that was. So, the offensive line, like, we're so focused on quarterback, and rightfully so, the offensive line is really at a crisis point because there's nobody under contract. None of these guys are under contract next year. So, I don't know, you know, I always assumed, you know, Joel's going to retire and they'll probably move on from Wyatt. You might have to bring Wyatt back. Who else is going to play? You can bring in 5 new guys? Like, you got to have some sort of somebody who knows what they're doing out there and somebody who has experience. So, and who knows, maybe by we get to January, this entire thing's blown out anyway and everybody's gone. Who knows? But, like, the offensive line and the fact that that hasn't been addressed, the only time they've addressed it in the last 2 years through the draft is on a guy who can't even be active, let alone on the field on Sundays, is an embarrassment.
Yeah, and that's why I said it's offensive line, it's receivers, it's a combination. It's just a poo-poo platter of suck right now. But when
You have 14 rookies, right? Is that what we're up to?
Yeah.
14 rookies on this roster, and probably half of them are undrafted. What did you think was going to happen this year?
Well, and so that makes me ask you this. When it comes to Dylan Gabriel, and I'm gonna loop Shador into this as well, because he's probably going to see the field at some point as well. When we talk about how bad the receivers are, how bad the offensive line is, the amount of rookies that are playing, is it unfair to even try to judge these quarterbacks off of the lack of talent that is around them?
Yes. When third round and fifth round rookie quarterbacks should sit, hold a clipboard and watch for at least a year. Like, who in their right mind picks these guys to throw them in to play? But because the Browns are in the situation that they're in, because the Deshaun thing was such a disaster and such a swing and a miss, now they're in the spot. And I don't understand anything that they did with the veterans. I have no explanation for how they got to this point. And so 2 things can be true. Like, it's completely wildly unfair to these rookies to throw them out there right now. But at the same time, got to see what you have, so you got to throw him out there. But, you know, Dylan, I think, is a little bit more of a finished product, you know, with his age and with his experience, his college experience, 60-some-odd starts. Shador, I've said it since summer. He's not ready. And I've heard nothing to the contrary to tell me that he is ready. He is not ready to play in an NFL game. But that's not going to matter because they're going to throw him out there. And he'll probably get the crap beat out of him, and the people who don't like him are going to scream, see, he sucks, and the people who defend him are going to say, well, the organization set him up to fail, and then they're going to take another quarterback next year, and round we go. And it just, the carousel never stops. When in reality, it's not fair to the kid to throw him out there when he's not ready, but nobody's going to believe that. Like, everybody just wants to see Shador, and I understand why you want to see him. I get why people want to see him. He's not ready.
Jason, the Dolphins in town this weekend. Feels like the most winnable game you've had all season. The weather also could be quite fluky here. What's the difference between a 1-6 Browns team on Monday and a 2-5 Browns team on Monday?
So I said this earlier today, Nick. I was thinking about this. Last year, if you remember the Commanders game, I booked a flight to go to Washington on like Thursday because I wasn't going to go to the game. And then on like Thursday, I booked a flight. It's like, this just feels like it could be a tipping point with this team. Like, if they win, they can pull the nose up. It's not as bad as we think. It was an October game. I don't remember. I think it was like week 4 or 5. I don't remember. It was early, a little bit earlier than it is now. And it just felt like if they go in there, they go into that stadium and they win that game, maybe they can salvage the season. And instead they got blown off the field. Jaden Daniels looked terrific. Looked all the quarterback that the Browns thought they were getting, Deshaun Watson, is exactly what Jaden Daniels was. Watson looked awful. They get embarrassed on the road. And I remember walking through the locker room and seeing the blank stares on various members of the organization and thinking, nope, it's even worse than I thought. Like, this really is going to be a catastrophe of a season. That was the week that told me this is over, the season is over, and this is going to get really, really dark and really, really ugly. And I kind of get the sense that this week is shaping up to feel the same way, because I've said all along, guys, the first 6 weeks were brutal. You knew it was an impossible start to the season. Everybody said it. Look, this is a murderer's row of opponents. They could be staring at 0-6. Well, they're not 0-6, but they're close to it. So nothing that's happened to this point should surprise you in terms of where they are with record. But now you're 100% right. There are winnable games in front of them now. So if they come out and they get blown off the field at home Sunday, this is going to be that tipping point of, oh boy, we've seen this before. This is going to get even worse than we thought. This is a game they should win. They're playing at home. They're playing a game against a team that's equally as dysfunctional as they are. The Dolphins are horrendous at stopping the run. The Browns, even in bad weather, the Browns should be able to run the ball enough to win this game. If they lose a close one, well, let's see how it looks. If they get blown off the field, as they did last year at Washington, this is going to get really, really dark really, really early, because they've got a lot of winnable games coming up. The Jets, the Titans, these guys, the Dolphins, the Patriots aren't infallible on the road. You can win that game. So there's plenty of wins out there. I've maintained for 6 weeks, just get through, just grit your teeth and get through these first 6 weeks and then see what you look like on the other side, and you have opportunities to win. Now, they've gone through the quarterbacks a lot faster than I thought they would, and they're already, you know, if you count Pickett, they're already down to number three. So I didn't know necessarily that they were going to get to this point that quickly, but that doesn't change the fact that there are games out there to win, and we're going to find out right now this week where this team's truly at.
Mason Graham questionable for this weekend. Has he been a disappointment to you? I mean, that's the number five overall pick.
No, I know, like, whatever. I've heard, like, what PFF has him in the 70s. I don't pay a ton of attention to PFF. I don't pretend to be a defensive line coach. But I, for whatever reason, I've kind of fixated on watching him a lot during games. You really kind of have to watch in person. You can't really tell on TV. And I've seen a lot of teams doubling him, which I don't recall. I'm not saying it hasn't happened before, because I didn't really study defensive tackles before, but it's been more noticeable to me this year that they're doubling Graham more than I've noticed defensive tackles being doubled in the past. And I think he's going to be, like, I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good player for this team for the next decade. But like I said, I just felt like there was more pressing needs in the draft when they took him. He has not been a disappointment to me. I think he's been fine. I think he'll continue to be fine. But you can make the case. I think you can make a strong case. What was the bigger need on this team, defensive tackle or left tackle, or even right tackle or whatever? Just get a tackle of any kind.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
You were never going to solve all of your issues in one draft. Like, I concede that. But when you spend two picks on running backs and two picks on quarterbacks with all the holes that this offense had, and to spend your top two picks on defense, again, with all the holes this offense had, it can be a great draft and it can be a curious draft at the same time.
Jason, just to get back to the impact of this Miami game, you talked about how it feels like this could be that left turn that nobody really wants here. Is firing Kevin Stefanski in season still off the table right now?
What does that serve? I don't know what purpose that serves. I would, give him the entire season and see where you're at. Like, you're not going anywhere. This team's not going anywhere. What is there to salvage? This was never going to be a playoff team. Like, this Vegas told you. It was obvious if you paid attention to what they were saying and the moves they were making, it was clear from the jump this was not a team that was going to be a playoff team. So what are you trying to salvage and save by firing the coach now? That's teams that fire the coach in the middle of the season are trying to get a jump start spark on saving season turnaround. That's not the case here. So no, I just give them the season. And you know, I've reiterated this point 1,000 times. If you want to fire Kevin Stefanski, I'm not going to argue with you. Like, there's certainly a case to be made with that. I just think that there are a unique set of challenges that come with coaching the Browns. And I think he has proven when he has the talent, he can navigate the landmines and the obstacles, and he can do a good job. This team has very, very little talent on the offensive side of the ball right now, and it shows. So let's get to January and see where it's at.
Do you look at Stefanski and Barry as a package deal, or do you look at it like as Stefanski could get fired and Barry could keep his job, or Barry could get fired and Stefanski could keep his job, and it's not, they're not so connected?
No, I don't think it's a package deal. I don't think that at all. I haven't thought that. You know, remember, Kevin was here first, and I only bring that up. Like, you could fire the GM and keep the coach. You could fire the coach and keep the GM and let the GM pick the coach. I don't know that either one of them has earned the benefit with 2 first-round picks next year of saying, this is who we should be targeting. I don't know that either one of them really have the track record. Yeah, I think the Browns had a great draft this year. I loved the trade down with Jacksonville. I thought they knocked it out of the park to pick up the extra pick and whatever else. But it's one, to this point, one pretty good draft out of how many years. And I make the case, if you want to fire him, honestly, to me, the best case, if you want to just blow everybody out or fire everyone, it's if Jackson Dart has a tremendous rookie season with New York, because you told me, and again, I don't care where the projection said. I don't care. I don't care where he went. You had the number 2 pick in the draft at the start of this, and you were desperate for a quarterback. And you went to ownership and said, there is no court. This is a 1-quarterback draft, and we can't get to him. And if Dart turns out to be the guy, when you had Bubba coaching him at the Senior Bowl and you had more access to Jackson Dart than any of these other quarterbacks, that is the biggest indictment on Dart, or I'm sorry, on Kevin and Andrew than anything else you can put in front of them. I don't care about how often they run the ball or any of that. Like, the biggest indictment is you need a quarterback. You are desperate for a quarterback. You had your option at every quarterback but Cam Ward, and you convinced yourself that there was no quarterback worth taking in the first round. And if somebody who was taken, where was Dart taken, like 15th? If somebody taken there turns out to be an excellent NFL quarterback, that's reason enough to say, I can't trust your evaluations of NFL quarterbacks.
Jason, great stuff. We appreciate your time here on a Friday. Have a great weekend.
All right, I'll see you guys.
Jason Lloyd there of The Athletic on the Fan Hotline gave us plenty to react to, and we'll do that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. They're also favorites. So
they are. Yes,
so
they are.
So I think that would be another important distinction, that I do not recall them being favorites at any point this time this year. I actually think the Dolphins have more talent than you.
Actually, you know what's interesting is entering this season, Nick, my friends in the desert didn't have him favored in a single game this year.
Yes.
Obviously, things have changed because the Dolphins are that disastrous of a football team.
And so I shouldn't say I said I think they're more talented. I think they've got a better quarterback by far. I still think Jalen Waddle's a better receiver than anything you have.
And even he, look at him. I mean, he's causing controversy already. Did you see just yesterday in a week that the Dolphins can't stop shooting themselves in the foot, he is putting out photos of him in Buffalo in playing in the Bills stadium. And it's like, he knows he's on the trade block. He knows he wants to get moved. Like, it's wild the things that are coming out of Miami right now.
And because of that, if you're a favorite, you're at home, The way the game should transpire actually favors you as well. And they've had the worse headlines than you have in a week where you've had a lot of bad headlines.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. This is, I don't know how to react. I mean, I will, but I don't know how to react if they lose. I just, this is the one.
Can we shoulder shrug for 5 hours?
Is that the right response? Yeah. I am at a loss for, like, this is the thing you've been waiting for, And if your team is broken, too broken to beat the Dolphins team, yeah, okay, the Jets don't have a win yet. I don't know why I should think you're going to beat them or the Titans or anybody
else.
Well,
that's it. If you don't beat the Dolphins, then we can't sign you up for winning any games at any point this season, because there's no other team that we can realistically say you should beat if you can't beat the Dolphins. They're that bad, Nick. Like, I need to stress, and this is going to be my job on Sunday in the pregame, is stressing just how awful this Dolphins team is and how they've imploded in every direction they possibly can. If there was ever a gimme in an NFL game, this is attempting to be that, but the Browns can't seem like they can just make the 3-foot putt.
Yeah, and I think on the heels of Joe Flacco, this is something I've heard a lot from Browns fans, you guys to me. I woke up to like 3 or 4 Facebook messages and a couple DMs and a couple Instagram messages. They need to win on Sunday in addition because of what happened last night. Like, you need the win. A win doesn't, listen, it's one win. One win doesn't go that far in the NFL, but it just buys you just more time for that locker room to just move forward and continue to push forward. You start 1-6 with the Patriots afterwards. I mean, it's going to be really hard to keep this thing on the tracks, at which point it doesn't matter if Kevin's the head coach or not. It doesn't matter if you fire Andrew on a Tuesday or not. It really doesn't matter what happens if this thing slides off the tracks before the bye week.
Now, the thing I am curious about is if they go in there and take care of the Dolphins the way that they should, what does that answer look like? Like, what are we, because we're not going to be convinced that this team is worth anything with one win. What will that show us, though? A victory against a hapless Dolphins team. Like, I wonder, there's got to be some positives attached
to
this.
Yeah, it is, you're not completely dead on arrival yet.
Like, you haven't, because the problem with last week's game is they were lifeless. Mm-hmm. They were dead and lifeless. So at least this would show us that they're not in fact dead, and they're showing some fight, which ultimately is what we want to see at this point.
You live to fight another day. Now, you liked Jason's Jackson
It was
Dart.
Unique. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a really interesting and right answer about how we should be perceiving some of this. He's going to take a lot of flack, he being Stefanski and Barry and everyone else, but we need to keep highlighting the idea that if Jackson Dart is something, and I like where Jason took it, he took it even to the Senior Bowl, where Bubba Ventrone was his coach. You had boots on the ground watching him. It's more than just Stefanski going to Ole Miss's pro day and then hosting Jackson Dart in your building. You decided this last draft there was one quarterback that was worth it, and you didn't have the ammo to go up and get that quarterback, and that was it. It is a very telling thing when that happens. And so, yes, you do get to hold feet to flame with that regard.
The only thing I would say is that is going to be a recency bias thing, right?
Well, like, we're not going to have 3 years of Jackson Dart to live off
not
of.
Not fair, but I'd that's the tricky thing about being like, Jackson Dart, that's the reason why all this went to pot. It's like, all right, can I check back in a year after that?
Like, well, but that's the hard part, though, is that if like Haslam can't be like, I'll wait 3 years and then give it a go. Because in many ways, it's like, I'll wait 3 years for Baker Mayfield to prove us right or wrong, and then you wake up 3 years later, and then Baker proved them all wrong, but they've already turned the page so many times that you can't even really hold them accountable the way that Haslam should be doing.
All right, as compared to Baker, Deshaun, now Joe Flacco, where does Jackson Dart rank within their quarterback kerfuffles?
So obviously Deshaun is the worst. Baker's obviously it's a 1 and 1A type thing. You know, uh-huh. When you go to the ponies and you got the horse 1 and then horse 1A, mm-hmm. That's where they're running right now, okay?
They used to call me in college horse 1A.
Who was horse 1?
You never knew.
You never knew. Yeah. And that sounds like a kink that the morning show would discuss, but I don't know. That's neither here nor there. And so Jackson Dart, I think the importance here is that Jackson Dart is above whatever this Flacco thing is. Jackson Dart is above anything that you've seen essentially this season and how they've mishandled the quarterback spot. If Jackson Dart is great, that then takes over the 2025 quarterback mishandlings.
Hall of Famer Joe Thomas weighs in on Joe Flacco looking good last night. The 1-5 Cleveland Browns Joe Thomas in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.